Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Welcome, 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 Newsbusters listeners. This is Night Train Nick Fondacaro. We're entering week two of the night crew manning the helm of the podcast. Negotiations with the cicadas are going well, and we think we might have Tim back in the studio next Monday. In the meanwhile, Curtis and I have another great interview lined up this Wednesday's podcast. Who do you have joining us, Curtis?
Well, first I just have to say, yes, negotiations are going very well with the cicadas. They're going tremendously well. We're going to get all the tariffs lifted, and we might reapply them after we get him back. But no, all seriousness, we have on Wednesday joining us Joe Chalfin, who was a former Newsbusters intern. He recently took over from founder Cassie Dillon as the president of Lone Conservative, a fantastic organization for young conservatives to get their career started, especially those that are interested in kind of a writing career, writing for conservative media, writing policy positions on papers on the Hill, those kinds of things like that. We'll have so much we want to talk with him about. And just like with Steven, we hope you tune in on Wednesday. And also, just as a plug, in fairness, since we said support the Reload, support Lone Conservative as well.
Yes, it's the Newsbusters conspiracy, like that you could say. We're everywhere.
I know, it is. It's amazing. Kind of what happens when you have an organization that's been around 33 years or something like that. Yeah.
Yep. Now, Curtis, did you see that Mr. Potato Head, a.k.a. Brian Stelter, is back in the media circuit to hawk his paperback copy of his book, the paperback? So he's making the second trip around. And he has some choice things to say about the people like myself who call him out for his bootlicking interview with Press Secretary Jen Psaki the other weekend. Just to recap, he interviewed Psaki and started the interview by inviting her to slam the media for what they get wrong and don't understand about the Biden administration. It was a very, yes ma'am, can I have another, if you know what I mean. He even asked her about how frustrating it was to deal with the press corps and asked her what she feared about the future of the country because of the, quote, craziness of the GOP. Take a listen to those.
Busy summer ahead, infrastructure, election reform. What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda? When you watch the news, when you read the news, what do you think we get wrong? This is what I really wanted to ask you. You mentioned your kids. You have a daughter going into kindergarten. I have a daughter going into pre-K. And I think to myself, what kind of country is this going to be when they are our age? Do you fear that, given the craziness we're seeing from the GOP? Do you fear that for our kids, your kids and mine?
According to Bribe, people like me who criticize his ridiculous antics are not, quote unquote, good faith actors. This from the guy who in 2017 was among the first to start pushing claims that President Trump was mentally compromised and a danger to himself and others. This is the same guy who let unethical psychologists come on his show to psychoanalyze Trump and claim, in the past tense, more that he had killed more people than Hitler, Stalin, and Mao combined. And he just sat there and didn't push back. Newsbusters intern Bridget O'Neill dinged Stelter last week for an appearance he made on MSNBC, where he had the nerve to knock Fox News for supposedly being obsessed with him. Take a listen.
Sometimes I think I'm just a content machine for Fox News because they need something to complain about. But in all seriousness, I think it is important to be critiqued, and we all have to learn from criticism. What I was trying to do with Psaki was more of a feature interview because I was not on the main political program interviewing her about News a Day policy. So I was trying to do more of a feature interview, and I thought it went well. But I think it's so important that we do listen to our good faith critics, and we do try to learn from them. That's the only way that journalism in this country is ever going to get better and we're ever going to win trust back is by hearing our critics.
Brian and his lackey Oliver Darcy, or as Curtis here likes to call him, the conservative Benedict Arnold, wouldn't have jobs if it wasn't for Fox News. They claim their beat is journalism writ large, but it seems as though 95% of their content is about Fox News and the folks over there. Trust us, Curtis and I subscribe to their newsletter so you don't have to, not that you would.
Ew.
And we see it firsthand. Stelter starts off nearly every episode of his so-called Reliable Sources show with an airing of his grievances against CNN's more successful cable competitor. Stelter and CNN in general had numerous reports over the course of the Trump years denouncing and pulling their hair out whenever someone from Fox News went to work at the administration, even those that had political backgrounds long before working at Fox. But they have no problem with Jennifer Granholm going off to be President Biden's Secretary of Energy, and they had nothing to say about her using her position to enrich herself with shares from an electric bus company being promoted by the president. But then again, Granholm isn't a liberal, so she gets special privileges from CNN, just like Jeffrey Toobin, who got back from after flashing his genitals on a Zoom call, and like Fredo Cuomo, who didn't get punished after getting caught advising his corrupt brother on how to survive sexual misconduct allegations. But Rick Santorum, one of the handfuls of conservatives at the on the network just couldn't be allowed to stay. They pretty much only have one now, which is Scott Jennings. In a recent appearance on C-SPAN's Washington Journal, Stelter claimed that CNN provided quote-unquote reality-based points of view. At least CNN columnist Nicole Hemmer was honest enough to admit that CNN was no longer tolerant of conservative viewpoints. Here she is speaking to Stelter on his show.
So, you know, this decision actually reminds me a lot of the decision in 2012 for MSNBC to cut ties with Pat Buchanan, who had been on the network for a decade for some racist and nativist things that he had said. And in this case, too, it's not that Rick Santorum said something that was unusual for the sets of beliefs that he has. It's just that the tolerance of CNN and its audience for those beliefs seems to have changed. And so that, I think, is the most important context for what happened here.
No wonder CNN's ratings are cratering. In fact, during his appearance on C-SPAN, a caller told him off, saying, quote, "I had to call because I think CNN is so liberal and I think Fox is great." She went on to say, "I cannot watch you. I wish I could." In response, Brian said that he'd love to hear feedback from the public so that they know what they can improve on. He also gave out his email address so people can message him. That's bstelter@gmail.com, everybody. When we come back, Curtis and I will chat about the stuff that he's been working on, and we'll take a lap around the website.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
And we're back. Curtis, you've been sitting here eagerly waiting. What has got you energized this Monday morning?
Well, I just wanted to kind of double back a little bit on your Monday script here with Stelter. That was so funny watching him on Washington Journal. I will add afterward, our very own Rich Noyes was on as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was very amusing. I encourage people to watch that. That's a much more substantive interview, I should add. And Benedict Arnold, I definitely appreciate that shout out as well. So I had a number of stories. Friday was just slammed. I ended with this really interesting story about how MSNBC has really gotten into bed with what seems like Lincoln Project 2.0. And with these people at Midas Touch, they're actually really dangerous people, and that they really harass people on Twitter and social media while claiming to talk about morals and principles and decency and everything else that the right has supposedly lost in the Trump era. And they Fox News had rejected an ad from Midas Touch about January 6th here. And numerous shows, Chris Hayes, Nicole Wallace, had all played this ad and talked about this group. But you know, Fox News is still, again, the bane of all existence here. And Midas Touch jumped in to talk about how their ad was denied. But oh, by the way, please help us. Keep retweeting and chip in here to expand our efforts in June. Really, if you're going to educate people about what happened on January 6th, you're not going to complain about Fox News and then ask people to donate money to you. When even Rolling Stone dug into you early this year and found that you're basically a large grifting operation, that's usually never a good sign. And you accuse Rolling Stone of being a bunch of Trump supporters, MAGA country. I got nothing because that's pretty dumb here. But again, this is what we've seen with Lincoln Project, so that's why I mentioned Lincoln Project 2.0. So we'll see what happens. Granted, not every organization has pedophile covering co-founders, but in terms of just the grift operation here, claiming to be about principles and morality and standing up for America, Midas Touch sure seems to be Lincoln Project 2.0 here as well.
I was actually going to make the joke that they sort of jumped to the gun, jumped to the chase with their name, just talking about the Midas Touch.
Oh my gosh, the jokes are just everywhere. So, yeah, it's kind of a mess here. So, one of the other things that really got me going was this morning, the New York Times said Hernan came out with a piece about Ralph Northam here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's
Governor,
pretty bad
Governor
here.
Governor Blackface. Or Governor Clanhood. We just still don't know which
Clanhood.
One.
We don't know which one he was. He still says he was neither. So, I think we'll just let you choose. Some of us think he was... he was the Klansman.
It's a pick your own adventure. Pick your own racist adventure.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So I just want to run through some of these quotes that are just pathetic here. Here's one quote. He's the most racially progressive governor in the state's history and will have a tangible and lasting effect. Mr. Northam's arc is a complex story of personal growth and political pressure, a testament to how crisis can provide opportunity. Where's Rahm Emanuel where we need him?
I would believe he's the most racially progressive if his wife would have let him do the moonwalk at the press conference.
Yeah, I think the moonwalk would have actually done him in, maybe. If he would have actually done the moonwalk,
yeah.
I think people would have just decided that was enough, but because he didn't. So he's also said, this New York Times reporter, he also said that it sent him on an ongoing personal journey of re-educating himself about race, racism, and whiteness. So, as I wrote on Twitter, if Northam wasn't a Democrat, no amount of self-flagellation would have been enough. And, of course, the New York Times pointed out that President Biden, then candidate Biden, had told him to resign. Oh, whoops. Oopsie. And then it pointed out that with Northam having scandals with both his lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, with sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, and blackface as well from Attorney General Mark Herring, they said it was, quote, a stroke of unforeseen fortune that allowed Northam to escape.
I was literally just sitting here thinking to myself, it's like the only reason he was still there is because if he left, then they would have started hammering the lieutenant governor even more. And then he would have had to resign. And then the Republican head of the legislature would have been the one to step in and take the governorship.
Yeah, that was an undercurrent that I think people have forgotten about here. And that's why that they really wanted to ride this out. Because the Republicans still had the legislature at that time, and that's kind of a mess. But going on, he talked about having read White Fragility. So if you think if you just say White Fragility all the time, kind of like Lois Griffin said 9/11 in the episode of Family Guy, the crowd will go crazy. If you talk about White Fragility all the time, the left will like, oh, amazing, fantastic, we love you. But a quote at the bottom here that we'll leave with here, a couple of them that were just terrible. The answer to how exactly Mr. Northam survived a scandal is complicated, but there is no question he survived. And, quote, the turn of events breathes new life into Mr. Northam's political future. It's because you guys helped him do it. You helped him escape this thing, which, as we've seen, you know, I mean, this isn't so much up your alley, Nick, but one of the other things I wrote about last week was Chris Harrison with The Bachelor.
Yep.
He talked about working with Michael Eric Dyson, who is one of the biggest race baiters there is. He's up there with Benjamin Crump and Joy Reid and Robin DiAngelo and Ibrahim X. Kendi. And that still wasn't enough for him. He had to cut ties, and that's a whole other separate discussion that I will not subject Nick to here. But but that's one example of how if you're not the right person, no amount of forgiveness will be enough, so it's best just to maybe offer some measly apology or just say whatever you want to say instead of actually try to earn these people's trust back, because Northam has clearly done that by the story also explains how he would go into black communities and start the conversation by saying, what can I do for you? As in, like, how much money can I give you to invest in your communities? And we're not saying that you shouldn't invest in underserved communities. No. That's obviously important, and that's the role of the states and the local governments to help, you know, a lot of these municipalities. But the issue is Northam is clearly doing it, you know, coming at it from a cynical perspective to help, you know, to help his image as well. So we see Terry McAuliffe running for governor this year after having been governor. So we could buckle up for Northam 2025.
Yeah, so like sort of looking at it, it almost seems like it's a little bit of wishful thinking when they're talking about like his political future. I do sort of think it's like they're just going to let him sort of leave and then they're just going to sort of forget about him over time. Just because like we're just going to keep you in here so the Republicans don't get the governorship through that whole chain of command. And then it's like we still don't like what you did, but I think they're just going to sort of like phase him out a little bit over time.
Yeah, he's from the Eastern Shore. People forget that about the Eastern Shore of Virginia. Mm-hmm. They'll probably just send him out to pasture, tell him to go back there and never be heard from again. But we'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, and this really goes into the next point that I wanted to talk about, which is, so we talked about Jeffrey Toobin last week. We will not go any further. We will not talk about that
again. We're not going to whip that back out again?
I'm staring at him right now. So we talked about Ralph Northam. Katie Hill was on New Day today.
Oh boy, here we go.
Breonna Keeler, the woman who apparently has a real issue with black people being conservative and Republicans, as she harassed Byron Donalds for wanting to join the Black Caucus, as the late Rush Limbaugh would say, the Congressional Black Caucasians. You know, she was upset about that, and she played, I guess, the quote unquote worst hits of Trump. And wondering how you could want to be a Republican. And she tried to interrupt him, and Donald stood his ground. But in contrast, we have Katie Hill, who is still dating a Playboy reporter, Alex Thomas. That's a whole nother thing. That's some weird stuff. But she was back on New Day today trying to rehabilitate her career. Tom Elliott at Grabian saw this. Breonna Keeler praised her for, quote, her revenge porn advocacy and wants to make revenge porn a federal crime. She even urged her that you need to run for Congress again. Now, the timing of this, Nick, is very interesting because she not only lost the lawsuit waged against her by the Daily Mail and her friends at Red State, Jennifer Van Laar, for breaking the story about her naked photos with a staffer and people that were not her husband, some weird stuff going on, some sexual harassment of subordinates of her staff. They'd all just kind of ignored that. We're just going to memory hole that and talk about how there were images released, compromising images. So not only had the suit been thrown out, I believe it was last week, she was hit with having to pay their legal fees.
Oh boy.
So how convenient is it that she appeared on CNN and CNN was trying to rehabilitate her career, just as it looks like she's going to have to pony up some serious dough to pay for people's attorney and legal fees. Huh.
Yeah.
Total coincidence.
Yeah. So either she'll run again and get a federal salary, or eventually she might even get a CNN contributorship and we can make some nice cash from the apparently stable. CNN just seems to be like they're putting together a stable of degenerates.
Right, a stable of degenerates. You've used that phrase a couple of times over the years. And I think,
yeah,
to recap here, public masturbation, okay. Sexually harassing subordinates, okay.
And Fredo advising his brother on surviving sexual misconduct allegations. Okay.
We could go on here, but Rick Santorum making an artful comment about Native Americans and apologizing for it. Bad.
Let's not forget there's also that, I guess, pending litigation or case against Don Lemon for allegedly harassing a waiter at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to tell. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Chris Cuomo with his quarantine and harassing the guy on the bike during the lockdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on in here. And so for CNN, they're showing that they have no ethics whatsoever. Nobody should listen to them when it comes to morality or any positive behavior. In fact,
well, when they talk about how Republicans are against decency.
Oh, yes. Decency. Oh, gosh. Breonna Keeler's going to do another roll the tape segment. Therp a derp. But, you know, mm-hmm. I think what's the best thing to do, if you have to tune into CNN like us, you tune in so you get life advice about what not to do, how not to behave, pretty much how to be a normal person mm-hmm. in this world here. It's pretty ridiculous. So we have that going on as well. It's terrible. But real quick around the website, just want to point people to Jeffrey Lord has a great column recapping all of the Daily Mail emails that came out allegedly from Hunter Biden.
Speaking of somebody who got unjustly fired from CNN again.
Or he's let go, something like that. But our friend Jeffrey Lord, he'd been writing a column for us on Saturdays well before he actually joined CNN. And we're so grateful to have him write that exclusive column for us. And so I encourage everybody to check it out. It always drops Saturday at 4 p.m. So we always have that. It's a great column, a lot of great commentary as well. It's on the home. We put it on the homepage all week as well. We have a few TV items from Batwoman last night and some Showtime show that I'm not even going to get into because it just is kind of ridiculous. Both are about police and white supremacy and everything else. It ties into the Bill Maher commentary that you might have heard this weekend. If not, I encourage people to listen to it. Talking about racial and, you know, progress, actual progress on things like drug legalization, gay marriage, and those kinds of things that progressives should be happy about, but they're pretending life is worse than ever. And the last thing I'll add from that is it's funny. He came up with this idea of we put things in BC, in AD. There should be a third thing added, BY, before you, for millennials and Gen Z, because they think everything is worse than ever. And we both sit here as millennials, so I think we have room to take shots here. That people of our generation think they're worse than ever. Everything's terrible. There's racism everywhere. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay. Well, we're not a perfect country here, but we're pretty damn good. But Bill Maher pointed out that, yeah, just a half century ago, people of different races couldn't get married. So that's just one example that I think everybody would agree was pretty terrible with the Loving case, which we just marked. I forgot what anniversary it was. Mm-hmm. But it's been a long time.
Yep. And we're here in Virginia, and Virginia is for lovers.
Virginia. Yeah. Loving versus Virginia. So lastly, I wanted to just camp out for a couple minutes on one of Nick's pieces from over the weekend. And when I saw the transcript come across our staff email, I was like, oh, I'm sure this was just a news brief, right?
No.
No, it was a full segment. And our friend Jorge Bonilla had to have just been laughing his tail off at this segment. So I'll let you, Nick, explain kind of what happened.
Yeah,
here.
So ABC's Good Morning America on Sunday, they decided to give an entire report dedicated to the campaign of Val Demings as she battles furiously to unseat Marco Rubio. Excuse me. And they basically had her on, and their first question was just the reporter handing her a family photo and going, what does this image mean to you? And they just let Demings go off about how her mother instilled in her like the ability to dream of like a positive future. And they even like played like clips from her political ads that she's running against Marco Rubio. And it was basically just this more or less puff piece. They did have some warnings about like Democrats have been falling short in recent elections, like past governor's races, Senate races, and that Trump won the state last year. But here's the kicker, Curtis. The Democratic primary isn't until August. So they're treating her as the nominee before the Democrats even select who their nominee is. And they're pinning her as the one to go up against Marco Rubio.
Right. So again, this is not a presidential candidate. This is not even, you know, this isn't June of 2022.
Yeah.
This is June of 2021. And the primary hasn't even happened yet. So the primary's not even a year away. And they're still covering this member of Congress, who has a great story. I mean, she's from Orlando, a former police chief. You know, this is grading on a curve, but she's not Eric Swalwell. Doesn't appear to be like Adam Schiff. But still a very liberal Democrat. Very good standing. Could you imagine GMA, George Stephanopoulos, in the weekday, going to interview, I don't know, let's say Chris Sununu ends up running in New Hampshire. Could you imagine George Stephanopoulos flying up to New Hampshire and handing Sununu a photo of like him, you know, presumably maybe at the White House or with his dad, or if he had met President Bush, whom his dad worked for, and asked him, quote, when you look at this picture, tell me what goes through your mind?
Mm-hmm.
No, none, yeah. Zero chance that would ever happen. In fact, if they showed it, they would try to turn it into a negative somehow. But here we go. Oh, this is just great. And this is puff piece. And I think and what Jorge Bonilla would point out is it's distracting away from the governor's race, which is going to be disastrous as well.
Oh, exactly. And we also had like ABC going talking like sort of warrants like Democrats still haven't been able to sort of handle the diverse Latino population in Florida. And then they had in response to that, they showed Demings going, when you talk about diversity, look at me.
Yeah, I mean,
Marco Rubio's family fled Cuba, communist Cuba, and Demings is supposed to be the more diverse candidate.
Oh, yeah, and we can't forget hashtag Rubio crime spree.
Exactly.
Remember that? That was probably one of my favorite moments of the 2020 GOP primary cycle, how the media tried to make that into a big deal. That like he, what was it, like he jaywalked or had a speeding ticket one time or something like that.
Yeah, just the most, boat, I think.
The most inane, yeah, boating. It was the most inane, like ridiculous things in the world. And the New York Times, I believe, was the outlet that really pushed this, tried to turn it into a big deal. So we're not really going to see that with Val Demings. So we've got so many great things coming up on the website this week. But yeah, no, I encourage everybody to tune in. Our interns are hard at work today. Kyle Drennan is back this week. Kyle Drennan is back to take care of the Today Show. He'll have all the biggest bias this week, you know, and along with our regular staff. Nick and I will be working on all kinds of stuff this week. Who knows what's going to happen? We've got the Putin summit this week.
Oh, boy.
briefings return.
Hopefully, maybe. Hopefully Biden will do better in maybe that press conference than he did the last one where he was... Where Boris Johnson had to tell him, he's like, you already introduced the president of South Africa, sir.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and the whole, like, I'm going to get in trouble if I call on all the reporters. Yeah, this is... It's going well, guys. But it's more of the same. So that's kind of why we've been talking about other things, because there's a America, whole world out there.
America's back, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll catch you guys next Wednesday when we have Joe Chalfant.
This Wednesday.
Yeah. This Wednesday when we have Joe Chalfant. Sitting in on the podcast as our special guest. Also, be sure to visit the MRC store and pick yourselves up a Newsbusters t-shirt. Yeah. We'll see you then.